This is Trevor Davis. I'm sounding the alarm. Today is January 30th, 2010. Today I'm going to talk about the withered branches, fallen from grace. And this term, withered branches, I got from reading the Gospel of John, chapter 15. That Jesus himself gave an illustration, a parable if you like, about the life that's in Jesus Christ. And the severity of not correctly relating to the Lord. Listen to the words of Jesus in John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or a gardener. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Listen. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and you shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is an amazing chapter, ladies and gentlemen. This parable, illustration, is literally talking about the dynamics, spiritual dynamics, of being in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to this world to die on a cross for the sins of the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And all the sins, all the iniquities of us all was laid upon him, who knew no sin. And he became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Jesus. This is the gospel. He was crucified for our sins, for our guilt. It was laid upon him. According to the scripture, and after 3 days he was resurrected, according to the scripture. And over 500 people saw Jesus Christ alive. This is recorded in 1 Corinthians 15. And the apostle Paul, as he was converted later from being just a Pharisee, a Hebrew of Hebrews, which all these things, this elaborate religious life that Paul the apostle lived before God, and chasing after and harassing and persecuting the church of God, he repented as he met Jesus Christ. And he said, I count all those things but dung that I may win Jesus Christ. The excellency of being in Jesus Christ. And this is a very serious issue. Because there's more than one way that you can be broken off and become a withered branch. There are those that start walking with the Lord only to fall back into the sins of the flesh. Become corrupted. And then there's others that started in a spiritual faith, reality, and believing that they were justified by faith in Jesus Christ, only to go back to the works, working, thinking they can fulfill the law of Moses by doing this and doing that, as if that would earn pleasure with God. And this is the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that you're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. And how dare anyone think that they're going to earn forgiveness or earn honor with God by doing some sort of work in themselves, in their flesh, but it's all by faith. And this is what we've learned by reading Romans chapter 4 about Abraham, the father of faith, who was hundreds of years before the law of Moses ever came on the scene. He was a man of faith. He believed God, but God promised he was also able to perform. And God counted his faith as righteousness. But there's a spiritual reality by these dynamics that is recorded by Jesus in the Gospel of John chapter 15 He's the true vine. We're branches. And there's abiding in him and he in us. And there's the spiritual life, the literal divine nature that's in Jesus Christ is flowing through our life because he is our life. And we bear fruit. And like he said, we cannot bear fruit without him. Without him, we can do nothing. All the Lord has told us to do is believe. Believe in him. As we come to the Lord and repent of our sins, we put our faith in Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews 6 talks about having the doctrine, the very foundation of Christ, and repentance from dead works, and then faith towards God. Ladies and gentlemen, we must repent from dead works. The only kind of work that can please God is faith in Jesus Christ. Just like Abraham had faith in God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. The Bible's very clear that the law was not of faith. And doing one part of the law, you're a debtor to do the whole law. This is what the scripture clearly says in Galatians 5. 2 through 4, and Galatians 3, 12. Working, doing this and doing that, is a debt and not grace. That's in Romans 4, 4. So once you're in Christ and you've put on Christ, you've put off the old man and his deeds, his sins. And God does not look at you anymore like as a Jew or a Greek or an American or a Russian, or any type of bloodline genealogy that there would exist, except in Jesus Christ. And you don't want to be found in him having your own righteousness, but that the righteousness that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. This isn't esoteric, ethereal words. These are spirit and life. God's not called you to follow the law of Moses. He's called you to walk in the Spirit. And through the Spirit, you mortify the deeds of the flesh. I encourage you to read Romans 6, read Romans chapter 8, read Romans chapter 4. Read the Word of God. Get before the Lord and study the Scripture. And let the light of God through His Word just illuminate you. And be like children. Humble yourself before the Lord. And be taught by the Lord Himself. Let Him be your teacher. Let him show you the path that leads into life. Because this is the glorious liberty, ladies and gentlemen. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And this is where Paul was talking about. Doing an element of the law brings you under the whole law. Verse 2. "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are, they're justified by the law, you're fallen from grace." There's those, ladies and gentlemen, that have believed in Jesus Christ, believe in the resurrection, but somehow, for some reason, they've been bewitched, they've been drawn or seduced to think that God will honor them by doing works of the flesh or even the works of the law of Moses. When God says in the Word of God that the law was imperfect, that it did not perfect anything, that it was unprofitable, that it was weak. And this is why God sent His Son in the weakness of His flesh to fulfill the law. So they that are in Jesus Christ are dead to the law, but alive unto God through this power of the Holy Spirit. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, you want to abide in the vine, Jesus Christ, and His life, His righteousness, His truth, His purity, His humility, all that He is, all that's exemplified in the Scripture, to let it flow through your life. And this is what is pleasing to the Lord. This is what He's looking for. Sons and daughters, where we've been given the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." Paul goes on in Galatians 2, verse 16, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21 of Galatians 2 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. This is the seriousness, ladies and gentlemen. We are not to have works of righteousness by our own flesh or by the law or by any such thing, but by abiding in Jesus Christ. And that life will produce fruit and righteousness that is truly acceptable as a sweet-smelling savor to his Father as we pick up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow our Lord. It is sweet and holy and acceptable to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 12 talked about presenting our body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a wonderful thing to believe on Jesus Christ through the ages to come, that we might understand the exceeding riches of God's grace towards us in Jesus Christ. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God's telling you to abide in him, Jesus Christ. He's the true vine. Abide in him, and he in you, and you will bear much fruit. You will be pruned. You will be watered. You will be taken through many seasons and processes of God, that your fruit will excel to the glory of God. And that is your reasonable service. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not in word only that this power of the cross and of the resurrection. If you read Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon you yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is the glorious liberty of Jesus Christ. Sin will not have dominion over you. You are not a debtor to live after the flesh. But as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God.